Welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast. Today we're joined by a man whose wonderfully manicured moustache has been impossible to escape over the last couple of years. I mean, you're incredibly famous, Ben. It's quite ridiculous. I see your face more than I see my girlfriend's. I've been living with her for about 3.5 years now. Let me get that right. You must get some weird messages from fans. What are the weirdest things you've got?
Wow. I mean, I think maybe the weirdest one I ever gotten is when I just started at Mob. It was on Christmas Day. Someone had been gifted a framed picture of me in their stocking for Christmas.
That they'd requested, or?
I don't know whether it was
a pleasant surprise.
Maybe a pleasant surprise or a joke, or I don't know, but it was quite.
And what was the message saying? Creepy. It was just the photo.
It was just the photo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you reply? Did you say?
No, I didn't. No. I'm pretty bad for leaving. I mean, if things, you know, slide into the.
We just talked off recording about baby reindeer, and it made me think. Yeah. You want to be careful replying to stuff, maybe, because
you got to be careful.
People will track you down.
It's been quite incredible, though, because your career, and we are going to get into it properly. We're doing a deep dive into that thing, so you better be, you know, ready for that.
Yeah, let's do it.
But before we do, obviously, Mob and yourself have been, you know, a huge partnership over the last couple of years. What impact has that had on food in general? Let's forget your own following. Let's forget you as a chef, as a creator.
It was kind of born Mob success. It really hit in lockdown when people had a lot more time to think about cooking and explore that part of their life, or what, you know, that's, you know, people eat 3 times a day every day, so you might as well be good at it. And I think a lot of people figured that out during lockdown when there wasn't much else to do apart from think about what you were going to eat next. It's quite interesting seeing now, and over the past couple of years, seeing how it's changed now that people have less time, and now they're like looking to do meal prep and you know, make everything on a fucking Sunday night.
Hello,
I mean, it really, I think for me, it really transformed the way people engage with food, because it not only presented a whole, it was so accessible, it presented a whole new kind of cast of faces that weren't like Jamie Oliver, Gordon Ramsay, Nigella Lawson. There's like this whole new crew of people who...
Disciples.
Yeah, who are like, you know, young, new, interesting.
Young, sexy, better at cooking than probably Jamie. Yeah.
I've never been on Mob.
What?
I kind of miss, I don't know, I'm like, I guess I'm slightly older. I've just missed that whole thing.
To the point it is now. Now it seems like there's no entry point really, unless you pay them.
Well, now, I mean, the business has changed quite a lot. So it used to be pretty solely reliant on brand partnerships.
Sure.
So we'd do a lot of deals with, there was a time when it was pretty much exclusively meat replacement businesses.
Yeah.
So there was lots of kind of, Beyond Burgers and the vegetarian butchers flying around, which, you know, which was brilliant for the business because it meant it could grow and grow.
Yeah.
But it's not sustainable. I mean, ultimately you're relying on other people's budgets and priorities and marketing departments. Whereas what you really want to do is, you know, you've got this audience of, I think it's now almost 2.5 million.
Wow.
And, you know, they want you. They don't want a product. They don't want to be something to be shoved down their throat. So the whole idea with Mob Plus, or I think they're calling it Mob Premium now. Is to kind of, take out that reliance on products and make it more about the food. And the only way to do that is by charging.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's pretty reasonable, though.
No, so do
what
I.
Is it? How much?
I think it's $3.99 a month, maybe 30 for the year or 40 for the year.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
I can't remember.
Substack money.
Substack,
it's like similar to that. Yeah.
Similar, It's pretty similar.
What was their approach like to you? How did they come and snap you up?
Oh, well, I mean, I was working for Waitrose magazine.
Yes.
At the time. And Ben Liebus, who is the founder of Mob, would call me on Friday nights, and we just kind of talk about the industry. Oh, I kind of can't remember what we talk about.
Like, why, how did he know to call you? Like, why?
So, were you leaving your number around London?
Yeah.
Oh, I was. I
mean, it's a little tear off.
Well, it was funny because before I got the job at Waitrose, I was talking to them about the next steps, because I'd stepped away from restaurants and was looking to do anything else in food rather than, you know, remaining in restaurant kitchens. I'd had enough. So I'd been knocking on the door. But yeah, I mean, those two things kind of came along at a similar time. And then I ended up going for print, and, you know, growing up and young chef, wanted to write about food and write recipes and write cookbooks. And the logical place to go for me was print and kind of old media and magazines. And then after a brief stint there, I think I was there maybe 7 months.
Right, that's good enough.
I mean, it was really good. And the way that your life changes when you go from a restaurant kitchen to an office, like, of real a magazine. Life. Yeah. It's can be, yeah, it was.
Did you get any good sort of freebies from Waitrose Ricardo working there?
Do you know what? No.
Really?
No, no. Come on, because Waitrose. they're two different places. It's a media company that make the magazine.
Right, okay.
And Waitrose are the client.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're not trying to impress you, you're trying to impress them. Right.
What was your following pre starting at Mob? And obviously now you're 400,000 odd.
I think it was maybe 3 or 4,000.
We need to get signed up by Mob. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
We're forging our own path for it.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah, we don't. Sorry, don't come for us. But is it correct that, like us not going for Mob, you're actually leaving Mob?
Yes, left Mob. Well, I have, yeah. I mean,
the deal's been signed.
I don't work for them.
All ripped up.
I don't work for them in the same capacity that I used to. I still work with them a lot and go in and I write. And Els, who's the content editor there, I work with and will continue to work with for a long time. But it was time. I'd been there 2 years in February. And it was time for me to.
But why was it
spread your wings?
Why was it time? What's coming up? Obviously, your incredible newsletter. I am a subscriber. I absolutely love it. 32,000 plus strong of us.
Yeah.
So is that where you're honing all your energy into, or some other things as well?
Pretty much working on. Well, I've left to go and start a new project.
Top secret.
Which will be a book.
Exciting. That's an exclusive on this podcast. Another one.
Which is really exciting. Although I'm currently sat right at the bottom of what looks like a very tall mountain.
Do we have a title?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
So yeah, newsletter, I've got that going on.
Can we talk a little bit about the newsletter?
Yeah.
Because how's that? I mean, I love Substack.
Yeah.
And it seems to have just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And just been the main sort of way that people now consume, or one of the main ways people consume, like, food, writing.
And make money. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so like, how's that like, you know?
I think it's a brilliant, it's kind of like YouTube for food writing, or it's just what it essentially is, or, you know, or Instagram for what, and Instagram used to be for photographers.
Yeah.
Or it's a place for you to host your work for, unless you're making money, it's free. If you make money, they take their bit off the top. But it's essentially a blank page that you can occupy and write and really do whatever you like with.
And have you liked that freedom?
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean,
you write a lot though.
It's a good few thousand a week. I mean, I wanted to get better at writing, and the only way that I really excel in something like that is to set myself quite hard, horrible deadlines.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, right, Friday, because when you launch something like that, I think it's really good to have a model or like a hook or like a, this is what's going to be here. This is how much I'm going to write. This is how much is going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you can expect.
Sort of the YouTube model like that as well, right?
I think to have and to be consistent is the secret.
100%. Every week I open it hoping that my band is going to be on the music section, you know. But we get to it. Another failed startup, you know, we will get there one day. Just keep going strong. Hopefully next week. Or maybe the podcast, who knows?
But 32,000, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm
and like
amazed.
I feel that's happened quickly, right?
Amazed by the amount of people that read it. Yeah, it really is.
Because you launched, nuts. What?
I launched
a year and a bit ago?
September of last year.
So not even.
Not quite a year old yet.
Yeah, it's cool.
You're also off to the Bull Charbury to do some cooking. You were at Mother Superior 1 in Nunhead recently. Talk us through the menus. Maybe you can't reveal what you're doing at the Bull Charbury, but obviously we had George Williams on the show, friend of the show. You were down there, 2 weeks ago eating?
Yeah, absolutely sweet. He looked after me. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. The cooking.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
I was really pleased when they asked me to cook,
Do you know what you're cooking?
Yeah, I do. And can I remember off the top of my head? The idea there is that it's, you know, British produce.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they can, they grow a lot of their stuff on the farm.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You've been through this with George.
Yeah.
But they sent me a list of ingredients that would be available.
Oh, really? That's
doing,
cool.
Yeah. So we're doing bread and honey butter. So I'm going to use Dr. Sting's.
Lovely.
The hot honey. So which I usually put on at dinners because it's just like beautiful unsalted butter.
Yeah.
If you can get the nice, you know, state dairy or whatever.
Yeah.
Whip it. Lots of Dr. Sting's and a shed load of crunchy sea salt in there.
Mm.
And then serve the bread very warm, almost hot. There's a restaurant called Perilla in Stoke Newington, which I think has the best bread course. It's so good.
Why is it so good?
Because it comes and it's boiling hot. The bread, you kind of break it open. It's like this little sourdough boule.
Yeah.
And I think they par bake them before service and then finish them.
Right, so order. It really is coming out of the oven.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's so good. And you open it and steam billows out of it.
What's the best bread in the world?
Probably a baguette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ben? Yeah.
I'd say Holler, personally.
Shout out. Yeah, it's hard to look past the baguette for me.
Okay, fair play. Let's go back to it. Sorry. So what are we doing at the Bull Charbroil?
I got distracted by Brilla. bread, honey butter, maybe some radishes.
Yeah, nice.
And then what are we doing? We're doing brandard. It's like whipped salt cod with peas, new season peas.
Lovely.
Lemon. And then we're doing a nice ox tongue salad. Mm. I've got really into putting meat in salads recently. Yeah, I did a pork belly one recently, which was really nice. So doing ox tongue with, they've got some mustard greens coming off the farm. It's going to do ox tongue and mustard greens.
Delicious.
I think maybe a kind of Dijonnaise.
Yes.
Dressing.
Yeah.
And then it had to be chicken. Doing chicken for main, chicken au poivre. So just like whole half chickens, all the bones taken out, and then cover them in au poivre with potatoes, salad. Green salad, got to be green salad. And then brown sugar tart.
Oh, God. Brown sugar tart?
Yeah, custard tart, but you just swap out sugar for like really dark, deep muscovado sugar.
It's taking you back to your chicken days.
Yeah, it is in some ways, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever have that on the menu?
No.
Oh. You should have
done.
Yeah, you should have done.
Restaurant closed.
So sorry about that. But it had a good run.
It had a moderate run, yeah.
It had a good run.
No, it was a moderate run.
You've also been on some great weekend escapes recently. I've been following, you know, closely. Oh, Vienna, yeah. Paris.
Yeah.
Just take us through the highlights of both those trips in a gastronomical sense, if you will.
Vienna's a killer place. Yeah. The best thing about Vienna is the Wurst stands.
Yeah.
Have you both been?
Yeah.
Yes.
God, they're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, almost on every corner, there's just a little hut. You get cold beer and there's about 12 different kinds of sausages with 12 different garnishes, and they just come sliced up
so good.
On a little paper plate.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
With that really nice kind of sweet mustard.
Yeah, what are they called? Like, it's not scent.
Senf.
Is it scent?
I think scent is mustard.
Okay, yeah, so then I know the one you mean. Yeah, oh, God, unbelievable.
I think the best thing are the potatoes with the kind of vinegary and the chives on, comes with the schnitzel.
The salad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, unbelievable.
Really good.
Yeah.
I only had one schnitzel when I was there.
Disappointing? Okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
It
was good.
No, go on. There was a problem there.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as I was expecting. I actually feel like what I believe a schnitzel is maybe isn't a schnitzel, because I think when people, you know, in eating in London, you eat schnitzel, it's just a kind of breaded piece of meat.
So what were the lads turning out?
Well, the ones in Vienna are like wafer thin.
Yeah.
They're super thin.
Yeah, that's right.
It was maybe the size, it was bigger than my face.
Yeah. They really batter them down.
They really do, yeah.
Have you had one in like Kitfall? Have you been there in Islington?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah, nice.
The Austrian restaurant.
I've been there. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I think I'm basically used to very untraditional schnitzels. Like them.
What more?
No, don't get me wrong. It was delicious.
Okay.
It was delicious. And then what the berry jam that you had there?
Oh, God.
Stunning.
It's just unbelievable. And really what about good. Paris? Highlights there?
Well, we went to a restaurant called 19 San Roque, which is a new place by a guy called Pierre. And that was very, very good.
Of course
good.
He's called Pierre.
Yeah,
very, very good. Yeah. and we took our friend, I went with two friends, and one of them had never been to Paul Bear.
So like pilgrimage.
Took him to Paul Bear.
Yeah.
Had a steak au poivre.
Of course.
Good?
Delicious.
Yeah, okay, right.
It's really good.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's
not
really,
like the
really
schnitzels
good.
In Vienna.
No, this is very bad.
Well, I went to Paul Bear once and we decided the best thing we ate was the carrots.
Did you have carrot râpé?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, that shouldn't have been the best thing I ate.
Have you had Il Flotton there?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Not Il Flotton.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Yeah. No,
that's,
I mean, it's great.
The best.
Yeah, yeah. Did you steal a plate?
No, we didn't.
No.
We didn't. And I shouldn't sell them out, but those two boys, we went to San Sebastian last year, and they have a habit of stealing crockery.
Yeah, nice.
We were at Bar Nestor.
Yeah.
Which is that amazing steak restaurant.
Yeah.
In San Seb. And we had coffee after our dinners. They have the most amazing little espresso cups.
One of those in the bag.
Right, so back to the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. These things happen.
Yeah. If you go back to San Sebastian, I've thought about it quite a lot when I can't sleep at night. I think you just do the Pinchos bars, don't you? You don't do the big fancy restaurants.
Yeah, we didn't do them.
No.
We just did.
I think it's a waste of time.
Kind of
stay in town. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go, we're only there a couple nights.
Yeah.
And I think you only need maybe two or three.
Yeah.
But you can really stay in that however many squares. It's really small.
Tight.
You can just.
You don't want to be taking like a 40-minute cab out to fucking the big, you know.
So did you make that mistake? Is that what you're saying?
Twice. As you know, we went to that one, like, you know, that really, really old steak place. It's only about 10 minutes away. It's been on a couple TV shows. It's in like a basement. They haven't changed the menu in about 100 years.
Is that where everyone cries when they eat steak?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
it wasn't that great, I'll be honest with you. I think just walk around the old town and have an amazing food.
Yeah.
And then you can get really pissed and there's no reliance on cabs or anything else.
Yeah. There's that really great one, which is they just serve anchovies.
Yeah.
Or in however many different ways, and cider, and it's so delicious.
About cider, talking about beer, talking about Vienna, obviously you've got your own beer. Is it inspired by Vienna? Is it Viennese?
Well, it's a Vienna style lager.
Which means what?
So it's less carbonated. It's a little. So I made it with friends down in Brighton, run a pub called The Hand in Hand. And we were talking, they were like, right, let's make a beer together. And we were talking about beers we liked. And I really like, do you remember the old Brooklyn Lager?
Mm.
First Brooklyn Lager. That's a kind of Vienna style lager. So it's quite dark, it's really like dark amber lager.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more full bodied.
Yeah.
It's kind of more kind of caramelly.
Mm.
And they're really, really drinkable.
Yeah, you know, nice.
How do we get hold of that?
Hand in Hand.
Okay, so you got to go down there.
No, you can order it online. You can order it online. Okay. Lovely, you can get a lovely can of it with a little sausage on it. That's my friend Sophie Drew.
Nice.
Well, mentioning drinks, should we have one, Ben? We've got some spoons and cups later, which
we have.
Looks delicious.
They're not actually connected.
Okay, cool. Okay. You're just confusing us again.
So I was going to, I don't know why, I fancied a Pernod today.
Okay, let's go for it.
Am I right thinking you're not drinking?
I'm not drinking at the moment, no.
But do we have something else?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I did give you fair warning, I think.
Like, not exciting.
Anyway, it's fine.
Because I was out of the house.
Like a water.
Oh, perfect.
No, it's just like a little Sicilian blood orange juice with like sparkling Sicilian blood orange juice.
That sounds good.
God, that sounds right.
Would you rather have one of those, Freddie, than a Pernod?
No, I love a Pernod.
Amen, bro.
How come you're not drinking? Or is that just something we don't ask in a podcast?
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm just having a little break.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh God.
I feel like in the game I'm in, you end up.
Yeah,
you know, going out to
that's what I was
going to
ask. You know, like eating with Todd and those kind of guys.
Yeah,
they're invited out for things the whole time to go do club.
Sure,
you seem to be doing most of like your own stuff, and you're not really pushing other places as much. Do you get the invites? Do you have to turn things down? Do you not want to be doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky to go and try lots of restaurants.
Yeah. Or do you just get freebies and you don't post them?
No, I do. I try and if anyone.
Sure, that wasn't like a.
Yeah.
If it felt like I've got you like in a fucking police cell. Like,
No, I do. I mean, yeah, and we're very lucky to go and try lots of amazing spots in London. And yeah, it's a
were
real.
Were you out with Max last week?
Max Halley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. We went to the Standard in King's Cross to Easter's.
Very
Easter's.
Cute little family photo.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it was very sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Easter's cooking is. Yeah. Killer.
Did you manage to, maybe that's why you're off the booze, you had a whole day with Max.
That was, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that was quite a big day out. But you know, I think it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
You know, you end up, my friend just launched a wine book. Thank you very
much. Cheers, guys. Thank you for coming in, Ben.
Cheers, pleasure.
And thank you for making
Hannah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's
it called?
It's called Corker.
Corker, that's
which is the best name for a wine book ever.
Too much.
No, it's good. We want to get her on the pod, actually.
Yeah.
Good shout out Hannah.
You should, yeah, she's great.
Also, have you been talking about new books? Have you seen Max's new book, Max's World of Sandwiches?
I have seen it.
Ben?
Yeah, yeah. I was sorry I couldn't come to the big party.
Well, Ben missed it as well.
Fuck you, Ben.
Did you?
You missed it as well.
I wasn't invited. I wasn't invited.
Nothing to do with the book. As we drink our sort of assortment of drinks, what is your go-to cocktail, Ben, when you're in the biz?
Oh, I always think I'm going to sound like a wanker, but it's martini.
That's fine.
Vodka martini.
How do you have it?
Yeah,
It depends. It depends. I mean, if it's before I've eaten, probably with an olive, dirty. But afterwards, twist.
Clean.
Yeah, clean. Because otherwise it's just too salty.
Yeah, it is.
You can drink, you know, with a twist, you can just keep drinking them, but
olive. Who was it? Was it George? Someone had a filthy.
Yeah, George.
Oh, is that when you like smash the olive?
Smash the olive. It was almost like debris.
Angry man at that point.
He was,
and
yeah.
Then he calmed down a bit.
Yeah. I love a martini. Like a really good one is
gin martini.
No, vodka.
Vodka martini.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about pre-supper, canapes, little snacks? What are you putting out for people to eat when you have people around?
If they're coming to my house?
Yeah.
Which they are.
Boy.
We're coming to Nunhead. Yeah, not give the address. Coming,
descending on Nunhead.
Yeah. We don't want this to be a baby raider.
I think it depends how much I can be asked. I mean, so for New Year, we had mates over, and I said I'd do food, and we ended up doing loads of just little bits. So it's like something on toast, always a crisp.
Yeah.
Something to dip a crisp in. I did some quite nice raw beef. That was nice.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. It was like a really fun.
I'm getting more and more worried about it.
No, it was a fun. And being like, that's a cool way to do Christmas. Was it Christmas?
No. New Year.
New Year. So New Year. Christmas.
Yeah, it was just like, I remember those. One thing I did was just smoked eel on toast, just like little slices of grilled baguette with smoked eel on it. And someone told me smoked eel's endangered.
Really?
And then I felt really bad.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
You can never win.
So it won't be, it used to be smoked eel, no more smoked eel.
That's off the menu.
Yeah. But just like little bits.
How much can you be asked? Because I think when people.
That's good.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, like if you don't cook a lot, I feel like people go to a lot of effort and they like kill themselves doing it.
Yeah.
People who cook a lot and are have a good, not often make less effort, but are smart about where they.
Well, that's it. I think it's definitely a work smart, not hard job. I'll usually do something very, very easy to begin with. So usually things that are either raw or served cold or just warm, maybe, or like maybe one thing that you can throw in the oven for a couple of minutes. And then main is absolutely always something in the middle of the table. If you're like trying to plate stuff,
nightmare. And something maybe that's already like in the oven, kind of just ready to come out.
Well, I mean,
or are you working at the
last
minute?
I also quite like having something to do.
Yeah. Okay.
I quite like
the ability
to be like, well, I'm just going to go and deal with my fish.
Yeah, okay, right.
I quite like having
you that. You realize your two groups of mates aren't getting on as well as planned. You want to get out of the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm out of there.
I love doing
that.
Okay.
What about your morning drink? First thing you drink in the morning?
Sparkling water.
Yeah.
I'm a fiend for it.
Me too. What brand? Or are you, are you soda streaming?
Home brand.
Soda stream.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a long time we didn't. And then, the dolphin guilt got too much. Yeah. Just the amount of plastic was...
Yeah. It's a game changer, the soda streams.
No, I agree.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Also, you can make it a red Badoit taste if you want it, or you can go like slightly lighter. Or
are you adding salt?
Yeah. Just a tiny bit.
Really?
Well, it depends how badly you feel. What about hangover drink? Talking about salt, hangover drink of choice and hangover cure. We put them as one now.
Well, hangover drink is just bottles and bottles and bottles of sparkling water.
Okay.
And maybe an old Lucozade.
Okay.
From back in the day.
Yeah.
They'll sort you out. I mean, if I'm going back to the pub, pint of Guinness.
Yes.
Always.
Not a Bloody Mary or anything?
I do really like Bloody Marys. I just think you always roll the dice. The roll of the dice for the Bloody Mary is so hard because they're usually shit.
Yeah,
agreed.
They're usually bad.
Nothing worse than a warm one.
And you also don't want to be that guy at the bar being like, oh, can you just add some...
Super specific.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
But you sort of do need to be that guy sometimes.
Yeah,
I agree.
Are you asking about your Guinness?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've spoken about this quite a lot recently, this kind of Guinness fetish that's taken over London. Yeah. Kind of remarkable. Yeah.
It's odd, isn't it?
It's really bizarre. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping now that it's warming up, no one's going to be drinking Guinness anymore and everyone will just shut up about it.
Yeah, true.
And the Devonshire will go out of business. And
Have you been to the Devonshire?
I have, yeah.
Overhyped, some say?
Just think it's...
It's a pint of Guinness and some average food.
Well, I haven't eaten there. I've heard that the food's really good.
Yeah.
And the Guinness is good too, but it's just like quite an unpleasant place to drink. It's so busy. But although we did go, it was like around Christmas. Felt quite nice, wintry.
Yeah,
wintry. Soho vibe.
Time to go.
Yeah, it's nice.
What about hangover food?
Hangover food, I feel like choosing your hangover food is one of life's great forks in the road.
100%.
Lou and I, my partner, have only ever gone down the right way maybe once. And it's going to sound weird, but the best thing you can eat when you're hungover is sushi.
Yeah, yes.
But you never want it.
No.
What time of day? Straight out of bed?
No.
So you drank a bit of fizzy water.
Yeah, and you've I mean, how hungover are we? What time are we waking up?
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it's quite hard to wake up later than like 8 or 9 at our age now, isn't it? I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing similar ages.
Yeah, I mean, I still, yeah.
But Ruben,
you can go. I can roll over.
No, but Ruben's, Ruben, he came.
Ruben Dorley,
he's 23. He said he's like, gets up at like 1 p.m. most days.
Yeah,
and I'm like, fuck now. I mean, obviously not now when he's working, when he's hungover. I was like,
I mean, we'll wake up and then we'll usually spend the good couple of hours trying to figure out which road we're going.
Yeah.
And it's usually the wrong one.
Where do you get your sushi from?
We've only ever done it once.
Right, okay.
And we just got it on Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Some random place.
Sainsbury's or something.
And it was back in Brighton. I used to live in Brighton. And it's somewhere on West Street, maybe? I can't remember. But God, it works.
Yeah.
It's really good. Really clean miso soup.
Yeah,
miso soup.
Broth is a good one.
Yeah.
Broth will
But
bring
like you
back.
Say, it's not, your brain isn't going to broth.
No.
Your brain is going to like fat and-
Hell yeah. Yeah, pizza.
Fried stuff, pizza, yeah. Dough.
Had a really good Chinese the other day after my friend got married.
What's your order?
Oh, so my friend, although it's just changed actually, my friend Connor, who used to work with in Brighton, another cook, he told me the best Chinese order you can do is a quarter duck.
Right.
If it's just for you, quarter duck and a crispy chili beef.
Yeah.
And then you can put the chili beef in the pancake.
Yeah, the man knows what he's talking about.
He really knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
that really opened up my whole world when he told me about that. That was very good. Okay. Very, very good.
Ben, let's take you back to your childhood. I mean, obviously now you're one of the biggest foodie names in the world, but were you always so obsessed with food? Were you always so obsessed with food or not?
Oh, well, I was in I had my first cookbook feature when I was maybe six or seven, because my grandma, well, where I grew up, they had a cookbook and they'd put loads of local recipes in it. My grandma got one in and then we did a shoot house. Serious? Yeah, I got a little apron on. Yeah, it was for honey biscuits.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
You haven't dropped the honey since, have you?
No way. It's like in there. It's in there.
So she's turning out recipes. The food must have been kind of like a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, mum and dad, great cooks. Food was always a big part of, you know, growing up. Yeah. And sitting around the table.
Can you give us a couple of dishes from maybe your mum or your dad? Or?
Mum, she'll hate me for this, but she always used to make fish cakes and wedges.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah, really. Is she making stuff. The fish cakes?
No, just...
They're just...
Yeah, but just like we, that was always a weekly.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah.
And then my grandma, honey biscuits, grandma, great mac and cheese. Ooh. That was all, if you go around to her place.
Yeah.
There'd be mac and cheese. My granddad used to make us ham sandwiches after school.
Nice.
Dream. Really simple stuff.
Yeah, like, classics.
It was important, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a
good butter ratio in the sandwiches, I hope.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. It was definitely butter over mayonnaise.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
Well, yeah. Butter over fucking margarine.
What? Yeah.
Ugh, no, not margarine.
No, I don't. Not for me. But you know, the people who came out of rationing.
Yeah, true.
Had it in there.
True. Your first cooking job. You're obviously living in Brighton. I think you were studying American studies. Third year, you go off to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you need to get a job.
Yeah. So well, I was on a visa called a J-1 visa. So I was out studying at Brooklyn College, and my rent. I mean, even then, this was in 2015. The rent was so expensive to live in New York.
Yeah.
And my student loan barely touched it. So I was like, right, shit, I need a job.
Yeah.
But on this J-1 visa, you're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to get a job. You're there to study and that is it. So it's like the same if you go on a work visa, you're only allowed to work at the gaff who brought you there, whatever.
Yeah.
So my roommate at the time, her friend was a chef working at a place, which unfortunately isn't there anymore, called Donna. Which is on Broadway, well, was on Broadway in Brooklyn. And
Donna, like the woman's name, not like the Turkish kebab meat.
Yes, Donna, D-O-N-N-A.
Yeah.
And it was really like a cocktail bar.
Okay.
A really, no, you know, really nice cocktail bar that did food. So I basically, well, I just thought, yeah, go on then, I'll give that a go. And I really talked my way into the job.
Under the counter.
Yeah, they're like, have you been a chef for? Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
I've been in cookbooks, mate.
Well, like, I think I kind of, I kind of had thought about it as a career option before, or like that I was interested in food and I wanted to maybe explore that as a possibility.
Yeah.
And everyone in my family were like, no, don't do that. Step away from the edge. This is, don't do it. Like, have it as a hobby.
Yeah.
But that all, you know, when someone tells you that, it kind of lights a fire under you a bit. And you're 100%. Like, well, maybe I'm definitely going to do this now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, got into that kitchen in Brooklyn and it really opened my eyes up to how to work hard.
Is it Mexican?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like Central American.
I mean, what were you cooking, like dishes? Just
predominantly tacos.
Right, okay.
And then just kind of like little bar snacks. Because it was, at the end of the day,
snacks.
A bar. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the cocktails they were making were amazing.
Really?
It was a really fun place to work. Really, really good.
So getting pissed every night on the job?
Yeah. I mean, I ended up, by the end of it, I went back to Brighton and back to uni and my professors were like, what the fuck happened?
Because
my grades was just...
Yeah, you changed colour.
They were like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And I told them the story and I was like, yeah. And ultimately I ended up going to work more than I went to school.
Yeah.
Because I just loved it. I fell in love with it. I mean, the guys who worked there were amazing. The chefs, just a really good time.
So when you got back here, did you try and do anything else?
Well, I had to go and finish my degree. Okay, and I was I really wanted to stay in the States and just keep cooking and keep going. But I had to come back, finish my degree.
Were you allowed to work legally in New York?
No.
Oh, right, okay. No. Cool. It was all hush-hush, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then once they paid me with a fake 100. they pay me cash every week.
Nice.
And they paid me with a fake 100. And then I'd go into Chase Bank and I go up to the counter and, hey, can I pay this into my account? And I give them a thing of cash every week.
Fucking Tom Ripley.
And it's a bit Ripley, isn't it? Well, because, and then I took this 100 in and gave it to the teller and then they looked at it, they picked up and were like, well, this is obviously fake. I was like, oh shit, is it? I hadn't realized. But then if they get a fake, they have to talk to the police.
Whoa.
There's always a police officer, usually around most banks.
Yeah.
They, and then, so
what did
they were
you
like-
do? You bolt?
No, I know. I was like,
yeah.
Where did you get this? I was like, oh, I just can't remember.
Yeah, no.
And then they didn't give a shit. And they were like, right. But honestly, my whole life flashed before my eyes.
Yeah.
I was gonna get kicked out, deported.
When you did return from New York, though, and you finished your degree, you went to work under Jamie Housel at, Chin Chin?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Before that, I worked at a place called 64 Degrees.
Okay.
Which is another kind of Brighton institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked for a guy called Michael Bremner at 64 Degrees. That was kind of one of my first, you know, really serious cooking jobs, and did a couple of stages, and then ended up at Chin Chin with Jamie. I was there for a little while. That was, I mean, they've got an amazing little restaurant in Brighton, and they used to have a second site, which was actually their first site. It was on a place called on Vine Street in Brighton. It was an old car garage. Right. They used to have a little horseshoe bar, and it had 20 seats, and there was one chef, one front of house, and one KP.
Cool.
And it was the most fun job I've ever had. I'd ran that place for a summer with my friend Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa now runs Oran on Shackle.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we ran that place together for a summer in Brighton, and it was one of the best jobs I ever had. It was so, so, so fun.
Brighton's a wonderful place. I mean, I only remember there used to be this illegal Jamaican place. I had a mate who lived down
there.
Called like Backyard or something.
Backyard?
I was, yeah, I was in the house band. My mate lived next door. And we used to go there. He had like a little kind of...
Why was it illegal?
It was like a catering... Well, because they originally tried to get like a restaurant when they were in a pub, got chucked out, and then they were just like in a scrapyard, okay, basically. Right. And the guy had like a sort of, you know, movable, sort of small little van he used to cook and, you know, Jamaican food from. And then one day I went there with a mate and we were just playing our guitar. We were just sort of stoners back in the day. And then he was like, oh, you guys are pretty good. Do you want to be in a house band? And we're like, yeah. No, so we were just like paid in like Aki and Saltfish and just like.
Well, I remember you could take your own rum there, yeah, and they'd make you drinks with it, but they couldn't sell rum. So like, right, bring your own and then we'll just, you know, make it nice. Mm. Yeah. Good spot.
Then post Brighton, was it to Australia? And why to Australia?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got half my family live in Australia.
Okay.
They're all scattered all over the place, mostly in Adelaide. But my partner and I, Brighton will chew you up. I mean, we were there for maybe six years all in. And it can become very small very quickly. And right, we were just like, we just need to go and do something else. We need to go and... Because we both... She was living in Texas while I was living in New York. And we'd both kind of seen what living elsewhere is like.
Yeah.
And we were like, well... Let's definitely go and do that. And Australia's really, really good for lots of things, but it's really good for food. Really, really good for food. And it's really good for music.
So where were you?
We landed in Melbourne. Yeah, Melbourne.
Really good.
Were you in a band at the time?
I was in a band before. I was in a couple of bands before I really got into cooking. It was like in that kind of interim period between getting back from New York and that first proper.
I read you had to choose between the two.
Yeah, I did.
What band were you in? What kind of music was it?
I was in a band called Seal Pup with a couple of mates.
Quite a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What are you?
A drummer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was in another band called Method Actress, which is also quite a good name.
Good name.
And that band, that was a funny one. That actually kind of broke down after an onstage fight.
Really?
Really?
The bandmates?
Yeah.
What was
one of the most embarrassing things I've ever been a part of. Yeah.
What happened?
The less said on that, the better.
No, please. Tell us everything.
I can't really remember the details, but I remember we were in the middle of a show. We'd played two shows that night. And we were halfway through this second show. And myself and the bass player, Kit, are just having a good time. We're playing the show, whatever. Look up. And the guitarist has punched the lead singer.
God.
Or was it the other way around? I can't remember.
Some fisticuffs though.
Yeah, on stage. It was wild.
That's great.
It was so bizarre. And you just, you know, this kind of like shocked crowd looking back at you. We didn't notice for ages.
No.
We just kept playing. Weird.
And then the band just disbanded.
And then that was it. And then I thought, well, maybe cooking is the route I should take.
Yeah.
Thinking it was less violent, but
Not really. I don't know. You know. Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. What? Maybe now.
The times are changing.
What kind of music was it? Just to finish on the music.
Oh,
if we had to put a genre on it,
I suppose you'd call Method Actress post punk.
Okay.
And Seal Pup psych pop, dream pop.
Okay.
There you go.
Very nice.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
What was Marion like in Melbourne? The restaurant you were working in?
Oh, I loved it.
Like, how's the food differ? What were you cooking?
It's an amazing spot. It's on Gertrude Street in Melbourne, and it's pretty kind of bistro leaning. It's all very, you know, French cooking, but all done with beautiful Australian ingredients. I mean, that's the formula. And they call it a wine bar, but I mean, well, it's true for other wine bars in Melbourne, especially, and Sydney. Then they're not wine bars. They're like fully functioning full service restaurants that people go for. So I thought I was going to go into a gig that was like, oh yeah, people come in just for drinks and like a few bites, and it was fucking busy.
I feel like in Melbourne, there's like coffee shops, which are full on, like
they're full service restaurants.
Full service restaurants, and then wine bars, which are full service restaurants.
It's but it was a beautiful spot. Learned a lot. It was kind of an annex to a slightly larger restaurant called Cutler & Co.
Okay,
which is a very, very nice two hat. They don't have stars out there. They have
Little hats. That's nice.
Yeah, I think it's the Good Food Guide Awards.
Okay, right.
Because the Michelin Guide has never been to New Zealand or Australia.
You can't drive there.
Yeah,
there you go. That's the problem.
Yeah. What's the nights out like post-service in Australia compared to like England?
I think the nights out in Melbourne were probably the best ones, especially if you want to go and eat.
Yeah.
You can go to their Chinatown. It's very, very good in Melbourne. And also there was a place, I'm not sure whether it's still open, but there was a place when I was there, which we loved, called Butcher's Diner. And it was opened by some butchers. And they just did, you know, they had like dry aging, really, really casual spot. Tiny, maybe 8-10 seats. But they had like dry age cabinets full of like the most amazing beef. But they just do like burgers and like drunk food. They were open 24 hours a day.
Oh, whoa.
And they did what I always used to get, the blood cake sandwich, like a fried egg on it.
Go on.
And they'd make their own brown
black
sauce.
Pudding-y.
Yeah. Blood cake brown. Yeah, it was like a black pudding, like a little square.
Nice.
Just seared. Oh, it was so, so delicious. You can go and have like beers there, do good cocktails. It was killer.
Great idea.
Really cool spot.
Yeah.
I think, I speaking to my friend there, don't think it's open 24 hours anymore, but I think it's
I mean, that's
there.
Mad.
I know. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, because I was the understanding that Australia was quite nanny statey in terms of nights out.
I think in Sydney, that's true.
Right, Sydney, okay. They send in like sniffer dogs if you have like a pint at 4 PM, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
It's, you know, it's kind of, I think it's similar in the States in that you can't drink on the street.
On the street.
Yeah.
Sort of brown bag type
but
thing.
Sydney has quite strict like licensing.
Right.
Everything closes quite early.
Right.
And if you're like in a club, it has to be completely soundproofed and all that.
We're talking about butcher's joints. I mean, you came back, you then became, when this fucking horrible COVID hit, you became a butcher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, during COVID, Andrew, who owned Marion, where I was working, closed the restaurants. And I had a meeting with him and I was like, I got to go. Because I was about to get a visa there and we were going to stay and Andrew was going to sponsor it and we were going to stay for, the plan was to stay for a while and we really loved it and it's one of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah.
But no, we came back to the UK. I found myself back with my folks in Sussex and needed a job. And this was one of the best pieces of advice I got from Colin, my head chef in Australia. He said, when you go back, go and be a butcher or go and be a fishmonger until this is over, because you'll still get to work with food and you'll learn an absolute shitload.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be quite fun. And you know, there are two things that fishmongers and butchers are two things that they're like chefs. Everyone needs them, you know, and like people who own those businesses are always looking for people who want to be butchers because, you know, shock, no one wants to be a butcher anymore.
Yeah, it's a dying. I was at a meat supplier called Swaledale last week.
Oh, nice.
And they were saying that they now have to do a lot of portioning and stuff in at their end because no restaurants have butchers. You know, like no one knows how to butcher.
They don't like Mike Davis. Or Floffle. Do you know Floffle? Flora, we're getting her on.
Yeah.
She's doing sort this whole like butcher. Awful butcher. Yeah, she's kind of like.
Oh, no. I was reading about her the other day.
Quite cool.
I think she's mates with Hannah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But anyway, butchery.
Yeah, butchery. It was in May. I was worked there for maybe 7 or 8 months, just kind of as a little stopgap before we moved to London. Learned an incredible amount. It was an amazing place called Adsdean Farm. It's a whole animal butcher shop, but, you know, in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah.
All of the meat comes from the farm. We get maybe 10 pigs a week, a few lamb and, you know, half a cow. And it was a real kind of, you know, you've been cooking for however long. We used to do whole lambs at one of the restaurants I worked at. But when that comes in every week, you know, you really get an understanding of where your food comes from.
Yeah,
and like,
cool.
It was a really, really cool experience.
And was that all the way down to like making sausages and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Using everything.
Thousands of sausages. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because when I started there, I think they didn't really... They got me on dog food for the first week. And it was in, I think I'd started in February or March and it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
This might be a bit too much, but
it's never too much.
Basically, to make the dog food, it's very, very good dog food, but you essentially mince the plucks of the animals. So like the lungs, all the stuff that we wouldn't sell or we wouldn't eat. They'd mince it into dog food. And the first week there, from 7 AM until 6 PM, I would just make that. And it, I just couldn't believe. I go home and my partner was like, "You smell like bleach. What have you been doing all day?" And I was just like, "Oh my God."
He thought you were doing like Breaking Bad kind
of thing. Yeah, and it took me forever to persuade them to let me have a go with a knife. I was like, guys, I
kind of know what I'm doing.
God, let me have a go. Let me show you a chicken or something. And eventually they did. And you know, the two guys that trained me there were amazing people.
Yeah. Well, then post lockdown, Notting Hill, RSC. I mean, Notting Hill has now become kind of a hub of food.
Notting Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or that general area, I should say. Yeah. What was your favorite dish on the menu there? What was that like? Good fun?
At RSA, yeah. Oh, I loved it. My favorite dish is probably, I don't know whether it's still on the menu anymore, but it used to be kind of the signature dish. It was like a whole grilled John Dory covered in a bone marrow bordelaise.
Oh.
So good. And you just serve it with chips and salad. I think this is where my affinity for like whole baked fish with chips and salad comes from. It's just a perfect meal. It's a perfect meal.
That is perfection.
But we used to do that with, you know, if you can't get John Dory, we used to do it with whole monkfish tails. Mm. But it was really, really good. Gareth was the head chef there when I was working there. And yeah, he taught me some great sauces, great techniques, a brilliant cook. Yeah.
Well, all this talking of food has got me horny to eat something or try something. Ben, do we have anything?
Well, I've made, I think these are yours.
Ooh, okay.
Oh,
this could be
some of my favorite. No, they're not. It's just, this is a snack.
Okay.
I should have brought it out earlier.
That's fine.
I call them like beer nuts, spicy little nuts.
Yeah.
I think I nicked them off you. I have like a while ago.
I do have a recipe, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's see. Maybe we should blindfold them. Oh my God, there's
they look quite similar, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, get in there.
I'm sure it was on you.
I
sort of make them at home.
So how do you make them? Take our listeners through it.
So,
oh yeah.
Well, you maybe, I don't know, so what I do.
Yeah, but
I think yours have like your honey on them.
They do.
Well,
so mine was a marketing boy just without that.
Really, okay. I don't currently have any of your honey.
Oh, fucking hell.
Can't believe it.
You should buy
so like oil, loads of rosemary, some chili, some apple cider vinegar, a little bit of honey or maple syrup, depending on what I've got in the cupboard.
Really good.
Salt, nuts. Mm. I like heat up all that stuff. I did.
Yeah.
Heat it all up, toss it over the nuts, bake them until they're sort of dark and delicious.
Unbelievable. They are
They're
dark
so good.
I've kind of.
So I learned to make, we called them bar nuts at Marion in Melbourne. Very, very similar recipe.
Delicious.
So good. Mm. And you just, at the end of service, you just smash handful after handful. Oh. And the guy who'd make them on pastry, just looking at you with tears in his eyes as you just destroy his mise en place.
Yeah.
So nice.
Well, the spoons for the nuts.
No, surely use your hands.
No, yeah, exactly. But I think we should bring the food out.
Okay, yeah, I'll bring this
as one.
Give me a second. I'm enjoying a nut, Freddy.
Mm. Sorry. I don't mean to rush. I just want to get it all out. And when we do, what is your go-to delivery order, Ben?
Anything with rice, like Chinese barbecue. Basically, stuff that I can't make.
Right.
I can make rice, but everyone else seems to make rice better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And Three Uncles. Mm-hmm. You had Three Uncles before? Yep. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. So they do an amazing lamb wonton.
Hold on, what's Three Uncles?
Hold on, I'm back. Three Uncles. Three Uncles is a business that essentially, it's always a green flag when someone or a business does one thing really, really well. And that's exactly what they do. They do kind of Cantonese style barbecue or like roast meat. So they do a Hainanese chicken, poached chicken. They do crispy pork belly, barbecue, kind of like char siu vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And they do duck and they just serve it over rice, steamed greens, couple of little sauces.
Job's a good one.
So good.
What about the dish you cook the most midweek?
Probably pasta. I mean, I have my partner and I I know it isn't midweek, but we often have it midweek. We call it Sunday sauce.
Go on, what is it?
It's just a really, really, really delicious pomodoro. Pasta, tomato sauce. So it's tomatoes, garlic, basil, parmesan. That's it. I mean, you just can't beat it. No, you really can't beat that for me. Lots of, like loads and loads of olive oil. Really, really comforting. It's absolutely delicious.
We're going to lower the tone here. What's your favorite meal deal combination?
Oh, meal deals. I haven't had one in a while. I think probably a San Pellegrino sparkling water.
Yes.
A BLT.
Yes.
And a packet of chili heat wave Doritos.
Ugh, it's a wonderful combo. What about your go-to ingredient? If you can only pick one.
A lemon.
I love that.
I think there's not many things that aren't improved.
No.
A little squeeze of lemon.
I think Ben was saying a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he? The other Ben, that lemon is your sort of always up your sleeve.
Yeah, j'adore lemon, yeah.
Do you know what I think lemon's underrated on?
What?
Big steaks.
Mm.
Like if you grill a big steak on a barbecue or just serve it with covered in olive oil, loads of salt and just a lemon.
Ben has just presented
maybe on all grilled
steak tartare.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I'm going to spaff a bit of Tabasco on the top.
Please
do, yeah. Go ahead.
I've seen that Ben is obsessed with Tabasco. Talk us through what's in that tartare, Ben, please. Is it Ben's recipe? Sorry, it's very confusing to listeners.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at two Bens here. But.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. Do you like steak tartare?
I love steak tartare.
He talked about raw beef earlier, and I always get a little, like, excited inside.
I love it. I think, well, we were in Paris for basically 48 hours and I ate it twice. We had it every day.
So good.
I love it. Yeah. If it's on a menu, I think Max Halley has a saying, if you see a sausage on a menu,
order it.
Order it.
Yeah.
I think this is a similar.
I actually think a hustle in quite a lot of French restaurants is to order a steak tartare and chip, and that's just all you eat.
100%.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
So I've done that here.
So what's in
with Chris? Bit of chopped fillet. Cornichons, gherkins. I actually chopped some like nice little pickled anchovies in there.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Because I think that's delicious.
You do love an anchovy.
And then, yeah, a bit of mustard.
Right.
Put a little egg yolk on the top.
Well,
give it a mix. Beautiful.
We'll let Ben get
pregnant.
No. All good.
We're sweet.
What about your go-to item in the fridge you snack on? So you open the fridge, there's a weird accumulation of odd ingredients. What is the thing you kind of put together in between meals?
Usually it's something I can dip into peanut butter.
Okay.
Like what?
Often cucumber.
Yes.
Cucumber, like slices, I'll put a whole teaspoon on and then put hot sauce on it and just eat that. Mm. But you can do it with pickles too. I used to do that a lot after service. If I get home, I'd either have toast covered in peanut butter, cucumbers, and any hot sauce that has ginger and garlic in it. Like
unbelievable.
Or whatever. Or I'd go to the corner shop. I had this weird obsession with shop-bought sandwiches for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I discovered that if you put them in a toasty maker, if you put a cheese and onion sandwich from Sainsbury's or whatever in a Breville, it's just so delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
My partner has had a hack.
There's
it's
sugar
really
in there
good.
Or what?
It's just
preserve the sandwich. I don't know. There's something in there which makes it even more delicious.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. There's like MSG a shitload of mayonnaise in those sandwiches as well.
We'll try the tartare a bit,
please. Yes, I do. Yeah.
I'm going to do a test.
Otherwise, I'm going to keep on asking questions. We are going to keep asking questions though, because one of the things we are going to ask is. And this is something we only started recently. Actually, you're the first person we're asking.
That's delicious.
It's not bad, right?
Delicious. Good feedback from the wonderful Ben to Ben. We are going to ask if you could only cook one thing one more time. So if you could only have one more foray in the kitchen, you could make one dish. What would that go-to dish be? And we are asking you, if you don't mind, when you have time to cook this dish, to film it, send it to us, and we're going to post it on our Instagram.
I think I know. I think I'm going to go back to the baked fish.
Okay.
Because I do... God, I feel like we talk about COVID a lot. But during COVID, my partner and I were trapped in London for a Christmas. And we had Christmas by ourselves. And the lovely fishmongers in Nunhead, Jason, who owns FC Soapers, which is an absolute belter.
Very good.
He very kindly fished me out a brill and managed to get it to me. Ugh. So on Christmas Day, we had brill with like an approximation of that Bordelaise sauce, roast potatoes, some like honey glazed carrots. Mm. And it was such a joy. And we just sat around the table.
Just the two of you.
Yeah, drank
just
a lot of champagne. Yeah, just
and
trapped just in London on Christmas Day in a big baked fish. It was
just lovely.
Beautiful. Yeah. It was lovely. Yeah.
Just for the listeners, how are you doing that fish?
So it was probably one for maybe four. It was quite a big fish. So you trim all of the fins and then
brill's like
skirt.
A flat fish.
Yes, it's kind of like turbot or
poor man's turbot.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very, very good. And you just want to clean it up. So you take all there's kind of like a frilly skirt on it you can take off, and then the fins and take the gills out and all that. And then you just oil, salt on a tray, put it in the oven. It's really nice to cover it in sliced lemons.
Oh yeah.
That's quite nice. Because then they kind of roast in the oven, and then you can kind of chew on those as well. Delicious. But yeah, keep it really, really simple, and then just make a really nice sauce. So like sometimes you do a nice hollandaise tartare.
Mm.
That's
Whoa.
Delicious. Do like a hollandaise and then just put all of the tartare garnish through it. So shallots, cornichons, capers.
Yes.
Then lots of Tabasco.
Yeah.
God,
that sounds incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So probably that, I think. Yeah.
You now get to do these crazy gigs all around the world, including flying out to Zakynthos to the Pelagoni Club. What was that like?
That was, I told you about the chap who told me about the Chinese order.
Mm. Yeah.
So I took him with me. So they flew us out to go and cook dinner at the Pelagoni Club.
Were you put in like a villa?
No. Well, yeah.
Were
I mean,
you
they
like
put
a
us
caravan
up. No, we were in. We stayed with the staff because I know a guy who works for them. So we just stayed with them. We didn't go super fancy.
No.
But what they did do, we essentially had to cook one dinner and one lunch. I think it was for maybe 120, and it was the best gig ever.
Yeah.
We just went on holiday and cooked, and I went and took my friend, and we just went and had a really brilliant time. We found ourselves lying on a beach drinking rosé, like we're supposed to be working.
Yeah.
We looked at each other and he just went, how did we get here? Because like the two of us met in a kitchen in Brighton, cleaning fish heads to make fish stock.
Yeah.
many years ago. So it's funny.
Well, if the Pelagoni Club wants live entertainment this summer, Ben and I are very happy to fly out and do some live shows.
It's brilliant. If you get the chance to go,
yeah,
go.
Just you know, heck it up. We're going to do a quick fire and then go into your go-to locations. Quick fire, first thing which comes to your head, who's your favourite follower?
Favourite follower?
Yeah.
My mum.
Oh,
that's nice. Some ways
that's lovely, but we wanted the question.
Yeah.
If you could run one restaurant in the world, where would it be? Or what would it be, I should say?
Probably Melbourne. Cooking lots of... Do you know what they do really well there? Fishmongers that also fry the fish for you. Oh, that's what I do.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's nice.
And like maybe Korea, you can get a nice glass of wine as well. Hmm. Yeah.
Who's your favourite food creator?
Jordan King.
Jordan King.
Yeah.
Just shouting.
Because he writes in a way that I would love to be able to write. He's a very talented man. Yeah.
What about the worst cooking fad?
Oh,
I heard a rumor you left more because of the amount of chopped salads going on.
Chopped salads was a rough one. I mean,
they came for us on Instagram.
Did they?
Yeah, because they
did.
Mob leave did. The chopped salad alone. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got little birds everywhere.
Yeah.
Not a bad word said.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the worst cooking fad actually doesn't really exist in the real world. It's just really shit food trends on the internet, like a butter board or just stuff like that.
Yeah,
drives me nuts, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
What about calling a baguette a French stick? And sorry, that was last week's rant.
So. I don't mind that. I feel that's quite nostalgic.
We're going to go-to locations, and we're starting off with your go-to weeknight restaurant. Nothing fancy, but somewhere you'd go midweek and have a good time.
Probably Dinner for 100.
Yeah.
Keep it local.
Pizza place.
Oh, pizza place.
Yeah. Pizza place, yeah.
Kit Dermain said that.
I think I'd probably go, they have a lovely restaurant on Evelina Road, but I'd probably go to the Hill Station, which is up near Telegraph Hill Park in New Cross. And it's like a little community centre they set up a stand at. And now it's kind of blossomed into like a fully fledged restaurant. And it's really beautiful. And the two guys who own it are amazing. The pizza is delicious.
Yeah.
And you can go and take 15 quid and have a drink and a delicious pizza and walk home. I love it.
That is good.
What pizza are you ordering?
So they have one called the Jesus, which is jalapenos, pepperoni. That's it. It's so good.
Oh,
so and then
no Dr.
sometimes
Sting. No Dr. Sting?
If they've got it on the bar, I'll do a little.
Yeah, Dr. Sting. Yeah. What about crisp? Do they use Dr. Sting?
Crisp do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They fucking do.
Yeah.
No wonder their pizza tastes so
that?
Good. Yeah. Well, mate, we know people in the industry now.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
What
yeah.
about favorite place for a special supper? If you can have like a big event, you're getting married or whatever.
I'm probably going to go to Oran on Chacor Lane. And the food there, I just think there's some of the best food you can get in London.
Take us through it.
Well, always, whatever raw fish they're doing an amazing pastrami cured pollock.
Mm.
Usually it's pollock, but I think Oded changes it.
Wow.
The mixed grill, they have this, what do they call it? Jerusalem mixed grill. And it's half a pitta stuffed with chicken hearts, chicken thighs, chicken livers, loads of tahini, loads of amber sauce, which is like a fermented mango.
Sort of mango,
sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. But you know, the menu is for a small kitchen. The menu's incredibly big and everything on it, you would like to eat everything on it.
Would you ever want to go back in the pro kitchen or not? Not full time.
I mean, you know, when you go and eat somewhere that's really inspiring like that, you wonder how they do it I think I am always intrigued by the cooking that goes on in kitchens is so different to the cooking that I do now and the cooking that happens in people's homes that there's that kind of, that's what I miss. I don't miss the kind of, you know, the rock and roll aspect of it.
No. Was it still rock and roll when you were working there? Just debauchery partying?
Do you know what? I was pretty drug-free career, which was good. But I mean, there was plenty of drinking. I was quite lucky. I worked in quite gentle kitchens.
Mm.
Of which there are more and more, I think.
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, I never had any. I was burnt once.
What, by someone else?
Yeah. But it was so stupid. He did it in an open kitchen. I won't tell you where it was. It was an open kitchen and I was talking to a fucking customer. So
was it for the lol? Like, was it like a little kind of, or was
no,
it?
No, I don't know.
Was there malice in it?
And then I think it was dancing. It had a foot in both camps.
Yeah, right.
I think, yeah. I had a pretty, smooth ride.
Yeah.
Well, lucky you. Been to the Bear yet?
The Bear in Camberwell?
Yeah.
I haven't, no.
Well, because you're quite local.
I've seen it. It looks fucking great.
A wonderfully direct question, though.
Yeah, sorry. I just on a switch.
Hold on, where am I?
Yeah. What about your go-to pub? Talking about the Bear.
Skeins. Gotta be. It's the end of my road. You know,
is it overhyped?
No, it's really not. I mean,
do you not grow sick and tired of Irish music after a while? I loved it for the first year and a half, but then suddenly,
I don't know. I'll let you know when I get sick of it.
Okay,
I just
no, it's a great place. I love it.
I've never been in there and not had a good time.
Good Thai food?
so good.
Yeah.
So good. Have a beef drunken noodles and 5 pints of Guinness.
Yeah. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone in the pubs does exactly that. You know, it's, I've never seen anyone have a bad time there. Yeah. It's just the best. Yeah.
Best pizza in the world?
In the world?
I'll tell you why I'm asking in the world. Firstly, you're well-traveled. You've been to America.
Yeah.
You've been to Australia. But also, we don't want to make this London-centric,
yeah,
you know?
Very sure.
We've got listeners around the world.
Well, I mean...
But it can be a London pizza.
But it can be in London. But I'm not going
to
say
I think I haven't had it yet.
Okay.
I think it's Vincenzo's, but I haven't been able to go yet.
Yeah.
Because, okay. I mean, I know a friend of mine, Hannah, has this business called Dohan's, and her pizza...
Yeah.
Absolutely delicious. Dinner for 100, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Crisp, obviously, is very, very good. But they all say that Vincenzo's is the best.
Best venue in London, being a musician, being a fan of music.
Best venue.
Yeah.
I really love Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah.
Really, I've always seen great, great shows there. And then there's a special place in my heart for the Windmill in Brixton,
yeah,
which is kind of
finger gigs
a perfect shithole.
What's your best venue in London, Freddie?
My favourite venue, I'd say Ronnie Scott. It's a hateful thing to say, but I...
Yeah, I've never been.
I once got chucked out.
He's big.
Once got chucked out there because I was a member. I'd just become a member.
You're
my
a
dad
member?
Bought it for me for my 18th. No, you can buy it for like 100 quid.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He bought me a membership and I took a mate and I thought, you basically get 4 tickets for the year in your membership.
Okay.
And so I took 3 mates with me. We thought we had the 7:30 sitting. We had like the 11:30 sitting.
Oh boy.
And so we'd already been on the piss for about 2 hours getting ready. So then you've got like this 4 hour gap and you're like, what am I going to do?
Oh, that's easy in Soho.
No. Yeah. Sorry, not in terms of what we're going to do to like yeah. operate our time, but like, fuck me, we're going to be absolutely destroyed. Anyway,
yeah.
By the time the gig started, it got to, you know, and then you watch a gig, it's like 2 hours long. About 1 o'clock, we were dancing up on stage. It was awful and we were carried out, but it's a wonderful venue. What about your favourite hidden gem?
Probably Malaysia. There's a place in Crofton Park.
Yes.
Called Malaysian
I know where
Deli.
You're going with this.
Malaysian Deli is one of the... I've been maybe 6 times.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I only went last month for the first time. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're doing incredible. The sambal mackerel is unbelievable. Mm. Coconut rice, loads of peanuts, cucumbers. They do amazing, they call it lime juice, like limeade, lemonade, lime.
Female owned.
All
women just, in there,
and
proper.
And they're all so nice.
Yeah. That sounds incredible.
That's a great
beautiful
shout.
Spot.
Yeah. More people
Beef
should go
there. Is amazing
yeah.
too. Yeah.
What about your dream long weekend getaway? You can go anywhere for a foodie weekend. You've obviously been to Paris, Vienna recently, you know, San Sebastian last year. You're a spoilt boy. But if you could go anywhere, where would you want to go? And what would you do?
I probably, the best holiday I ever had was in the Costa Brava. We went to Barcelona and then drove up. I think it's a bit of a sleeper because everyone thinks it's like Brits abroad.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's such a beautiful part of Spain. I absolutely love it. And the food's killer. You can go and have like black rice on the beach and you know, it's stunning. The fish is really, really good. You know, drive somewhere, lay on a beach for a day, go and have beautiful wine, eat loads of seafood and rice, go to bed.
And then repeat.
Have you been to Marseille?
Just rinse and repeat. Marseille, I haven't been to Marseille yet, which is
terribly... You've got to get down there. As a foodie.
Terribly uncool, yeah.
Insulting.
Yeah.
I'm actually insulted by that.
Yeah.
anyway, we're going to finish off, and you've been absolutely wonderful, Ben, by asking, what is your go-to 3-course meal and pairing? We used to make you pick it from the dishes you mentioned on the pod. We decided, no, that's too, you know, limiting.
Yeah.
What is your go-to 3 courses?
To begin with, we were at Paul Bear recently and we just had a plate of ham, pickles, salted butter and bread. And that was just so good. I think it was Bayonne ham.
Oh, sorry. That reminded me. So weird time to jump in. Austrian breakfast. How good? Just ham, cheese.
Oh my God. Yeah. I went to this, what was it called? Cafe Pruckel in Vienna. Was like comfortably the coolest cafe I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
It was so good.
I love the continental
ham
breakfast.
Ham, cheese, boiled egg, and like a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that would be a starter, not the ham.
Yeah, plate of ham, lovely, maybe a bit of remoulade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got really into like old, kind of really simple, old school like bistro stuff at the moment.
Mm.
And maybe a martini, lovely. Mm. What's next?
Traditionally main course.
Traditionally main. That's going up. I went to a place called Clam Bar when I was in Sydney and had a cheeseburger there. And it was really, really good. And it wasn't like a smash burger.
No.
It was like a fat...
I feel like smash burgers are sort of overdone now.
Well, I think they, you know, they've had their moment.
They've had their moment.
There's something to be said for like a really...
Like old school.
Fat, yeah. And it's kind of cooked like a steak, almost like steak hash shape, and then you just put it in a bun.
100%.
Loads of pickles.
Fries?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I'll have that.
Yeah, no, that's a great shout.
Yeah.
And what are you drinking with that beer, Shirley?
Maybe another martini.
Yeah. Fair play.
I mean, honestly, that's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
Just
keep it going.
I think so.
And what about pud?
Some kind of tart, a lemon tart.
Oh, yeah, like lemon curd.
Yeah. I actually quite like, you know, you can make it just by baking like a lemon custard rather than like curd pouring.
Right, yeah.
So it's like super wobbly and yeah.
I made your lamb dish the other day with a courgette. It was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Brought me and my girlfriend closer together than ever before. So thank you for that.
Stunning.
Ben, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. We could talk for another 3-4 hours, but thanks, we just don't have the time. Yeah. But you've been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck leaving the Mob family, and I'm sure you'll have huge success whatever you do.
Thanks.
Ben, thank you. Those are your go-tos.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, guys, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and we will see you all again next week.